there's a conversation that most families put off until it's too late, and that cost of silence can be enormous. Death is one of life's greatest certainties, and yet most of us do everything we can to avoid talking about it. My next guest has dedicated her career to changing just that. She works in a space that might make you a little uncomfortable, but probably it shouldn't. She is an end-of-life doula and a funeral celebrant based right here in the city of Moreton. Kerry Tully from Vita Life and Legacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, Kerry, for listeners who have never heard about this term before, what exactly is a death doula, and how did you find yourself in this role?
It's an interesting role. So a death doula is someone that supports people, and the death doula is a non-medical support person who walks along individuals and families during and after death. So what we do is we provide emotional support, practical guidance, advanced care planning, and legacy work with people. And how I came involved in it, being a funeral celebrant, I decided that it would be good to help people before I got to see them as a funeral celebrant.
Now, Kerry, death is not exactly a career that most people grow up dreaming about. What was the moment that you knew this was your calling?
It's interesting. People often say, why would you do that? And the reason I became a funeral celebrant was in 2001, my grandfather passed away, and I was very close to my grandparents, and I thought the last thing I'd do for my grandmother is I could speak at her funeral. I couldn't help with her body, but I could help at her funeral. So I went off and trained to be a celebrant. And did that. And then over the years, it's evolved where I've decided to be an end-of-life doula as well, because having lost a son, a father, grandparents, that way I could help other people go through what I've gone through, but having some support and guidance to know what to do and to have as much information as possible.
Now, as a celebrant, you've realised that helping those people through the ceremonies and everything else, just it makes it so much easier when you know where you've been.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, because then you've actually met the person.
Yes.
And you've been able to tell some of their story in the ways that they would have liked it done. Unfortunately, when you meet someone or someone has passed, you don't actually get to speak to that person. You get to speak to their family, and quite often you get, oh, I wish I had asked Mum that, or we don't know what song she wants, or why didn't we check what poem she wants, or where did she go to school, or those types of things. So it's making sure people are prepared, and talking about death doesn't make it inevitable. It's all going to come to us, everybody, but being prepared, you can get on with life and enjoy life.
Yeah, how good is that? Now, you said that you are very, well, you are a very proud nonna or nana. How has family shaped the way that you approached this work?
Well, family's everything to me, and being a mother and a nana is absolutely wonderful with my grandchildren. And when I talk about people, I can understand how I have lived life and the losses that I've had. It's obviously you can't understand what someone else has lost and their grieving is through, but it means that I can help reduce the stress. I can help prevent conflicts with talking to other family members or advocating for them, helping them to get their wishes out there and what they would like. And my grandkids have made me think about my legacy deeply and about what I want to leave. So legacy isn't just about financial things. It's about our stories, our values, our lessons, our memories, and the impact we have on our loved ones. Like, I love history and love learning about my great-grandparents and my five-time great-grandmother, Mary Wade, that came to Australia as a convict. So it's recording all that for the generations coming forward as well.
Kerry, how do people react when you tell them what you do for a living?
They take a step back or a couple of steps back, yeah. Or they go, what do you mean? I can't believe that you do that, and why would you even do it? But people think it's all doom and gloom, but it's not. It's actually a beautiful thing. And I feel so privileged to be able to help families to be able to celebrate someone's life, to have the ritual of a ceremony. And you might, they might have a favorite football group that they might see. Everybody may decorate themselves up in their jerseys, or they may have a scarf, or they might be a grandmother that did a whole stack of knitting of toys for kids, so you could have some of the toys on the casket, or you could have the family at the beginning walking in to the music and placing all the items that represent that person there. So making sure it's the little things you do, like I wear a piece of ribbon of their favourite colour to honour the person about that, and making sure you incorporate the family as well.
Now, what do families go through, Kerry? I mean, we've all been to a funeral and just marvelled sometimes at some of the stories that you hear about the person that has passed. Mm. So what do the families actually go through?
Well, I think the first thing quite often is shock, and they can be overwhelmed, and they can be frightened of making the wrong decisions. So when I sit down with a family as a funeral celebrant, the first thing I hear is, we don't know what to do. I've never done this before. Where do I start? What do I do? And that's where I come in as a celebrant, if I haven't met the deceased before. Mm-hmm. And I say to them, that's why I'm here. I'm to guide you. There's no wrong or right way to do this. So we just need to find out, is there anything that you've ever been to a funeral you didn't like? Is there anything mum, dad, or whoever has said they would like? And then we incorporate all those things, and just making sure that we put everything that we can so that they're happy that they've been able to grieve as well as to be able to put the ceremony together.
Now, death is something that most of us want to avoid talking about until we absolutely have to. Why do you think this is, and what does that avoidance cost families? I mean, it can be pretty horrendous, can't it?
I think a lot of the reason people don't talk about it is they don't want to think that they're going to die. They want to avoid it.
We all know we're going to do it.
and I think sometimes some people think that if you talk about it, maybe it'll come quicker. But it won't. It won't at all. And also, I think they also think that they'll upset their family member by talking about it. Mm. But can I tell you, once that person's passed, it's too late. You can't go back, as we know, and talk about them. And people postpone things and they think, oh, there'll be tomorrow. Unfortunately, none of us know how long our journey is on this earth.
No.
So we need to get in and have those conversations, make sure that people aren't uncertain of what you would like for your farewell. I mean, someone might like to have their funeral at a beach, or they might even like to have it in their backyard and have a high tea. There's so many different people can do. So it's just making sure that people are comfortable about talking about it and that it's not so frightening.
And, Kerry, you know, really changing the conversation is basically what it's about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Just come on, people. How do you bring up end-of-life planning with somebody who really doesn't want to go there?
Well, you talk to them about what they like in their life. Ask them, you start with love, basically, and find out what they love about their life, what they see in the future, what they want to do, anything they'd like to record. Would they like to write any letters for their loved ones so that they've got things down? Like I do for my grandkids, I have a book for each of my grandkids and there'll be little snippets that they do in their life, and I write those things down. People don't like to be pushed into this, so you've got to do it at their own pace and talking to them about that. And it's more about education. So if you put on like an education, or these death cafes people can go to, or catch-up cuppers and those types of things, and people are interested about the subject but they just don't know where to start. So it's just giving them the opportunity so that they can learn what they need to learn to be able to document what they want to document.
Now, I think at the beginning of our conversation, you said there's no wrong way or whatever. Now, is there a wrong time to have this conversation with the loved ones, Kerry?
When it's too late.
There you go. Yes.
When it's too late.
Yes.
So you can't talk to them then. But probably if there's a crisis happening, no one's going to want to talk about it.
No.
The best time is to make sure that, you know, everybody's calm, that they're clear about what they want to do. And it doesn't all have to happen at once. It could be just little snippets of people talking about things. There might be an opportunity and you might talk about a little bit here or a little bit there. So it's just collating it all. It can be over a period of time.
Okay. So where do you become involved in that side of it?
It depends. So a family member might have a life-limiting illness and they feel that their family don't understand if they've made a choice not to continue with treatment. So they might get someone like myself, an end-of-life doula, to come in and to help the family understand why they've made that decision. Families don't always understand, but at least they've been told. Mm-hmm. Or they might want you to help them with their advanced care planning or help them with their enduring peritoneum, those types of things, or even supporting them in medical appointments or advocating for them with medical staff as well.
Wow, okay. Mm. So it's fairly involved, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
Now, and that brings me on to the role itself. People might confuse a death doula with a hospice nurse or a funeral director. And Kerry, what are you not?
So I'm definitely not a doctor. And I'm definitely not a counsellor or a lawyer or a funeral director. So, and I'm not a nurse either. We're not medically trained and we don't give legal advice at all about what's going on. We leave that up to the professionals.
Yes.
So as an end-of-life doula, as I mentioned before, we're there to provide emotional support, practical guidance and education about advocacy and companionship. And we also help people navigate through their journey, so understand their options, walk alongside them and work with the professionals and the other specialised care so the people are getting the best of what they need.
Now, Kerry, you talk about walking alongside the families. What does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis?
So it can be very different from family to family. It just depends on what the person is going through. And we can actually be employed not by the person who's not well. We can actually be employed by the family.
Mm-hmm.
So the family might not understand and they might want us to talk to the person who's going through the issue that's happening with them. So it could be someone like helping someone with advanced care planning, enduring power of attorney, statement of choices. It could be helping with a legacy project, like helping write their stories, getting that all locked down for them, helping them with their actual funeral ceremony or what they would like said and making their choices. We could be recording their wishes so that they have their voice footprint, which is a really big thing of having that, which is what I would love to have had my dad's.
Absolutely, yes.
Or just being there with the person, listening to them, having no judgment at all and just reassuring them through what they need.
Now, I'm just thinking, could you share a moment, and of course, without identifying anyone, where your support made a real difference?
Sure. So I worked with a family where a loved one became very seriously unwell quickly. There were a few conversations about their wishes and, you know, everybody was feeling very overwhelmed, as you can appreciate. So by creating a calm space and having the honest conversations that needed to be had and guiding them through the decisions they needed to make, the family found that they got some confidence and some clarity to know what the decisions of their loved one was. And then afterwards, the family members told me that they could finally focus on spending meaningful time with their loved one in their final journey, mm-hmm. instead of constantly worrying about what had to happen next, what do you have to do next.
Yeah.
So they could be there present in that particular moment. And that's the difference, what preparation and support can help with families. So they can, that precious time and the last moments, weeks, months, whatever, with their loved one, they can spend with them.
Now, Kerry, how about the emotional side of your work? I mean, this puts you in some well, most raw, vulnerable moments of a person's life. How do you take care of yourself emotionally?
Well, you definitely can't pour something, you know, into a cup that's full. So I love spending time with my family, my kids, my grandkids, the gardening, you know, enjoying that stuff, just reading. I love crocheting and doing that. And even just sitting down and have a cup of tea. Like, I feel very privileged that people let me into the inner sanctum and to be able to understand that. But it's also being able to compartmentalize things so that when you go to a person, you're a professional. When you come home, you sort of take your jacket off or you wipe your feet at the front door, and that's where it stays outside.
Okay.
To do that.
Because it certainly could get to a position that you take a lot on board that you don't need to take on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Got to be careful there. Now, planning ahead, Kerry, you've written the complete end-of-life planner. What prompted you to put this in writing, and how does it who is it really for?
Yeah, sure. So I'll just explain what the complete end-of-life planner is first. So it's the most comprehensive planner on the that anybody can purchase at the moment.
Wow.
So I've consulted with funeral directors, end-of-life doulas, people of the public, funeral celebrants. So the first section has everything that the funeral director would require to register the death.
Yeah.
And it tells you who's going to look after the bills and everything like that, an organisation. It has information about wills, enduring power attorneys, those types of things. You can prepare what type of funeral you want, down to what flowers, what music, what songs, where you want it, whether it's a burial, cremation, do you want anyone to attend, do you have a plot, all those types of things. Then you can also have your story, so talking about your story and recording everything that people wouldn't know, and you can put in what you want them to tell. You can say who you want at your funeral, who you don't want at your funeral. You can put down all your financial documentation of where all your important documents are. And also recording all your important passcodes, because most people have a PIN code on the phone you can't get in. And then you can do letters to loved ones as well. So the reason why I came up with this, being a celebrant with over 18 years experience, most times when I go, it'll be, oh, I've got no idea what music Mum would have. We never had that conversation, or we don't know where she went to school, or, you know, where she got married, or what her parents' names were. So it's recording all the information. So I call it, it's the logistics is everything there, which is what a funeral director will need, and it will help them. But it's also your life story and your legacy that goes through. So by having this practical resource, people then can document everything and they can get on with life, and you don't have to do it all at once. You can do it over a period of time, and you can change it as many times as you like.
There you go. Now, I mean, we're talking about end of life. You tend to think of older people, but it really isn't just older people, Kerry,
no,
is it? By long shot.
It's everybody. Like, as I said, none of us know when our journey on this earth is going to end, and none of us know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow, the next day, down the track. So it isn't about age. It's about being prepared and being planned and not leaving it to too late, so your loved ones are in a state of shock or overwhelm and not knowing what to do, and having those important conversations and having a documentation. I can pretty much guess out of 10 people, there might be two people who have their wills or the advanced care direct. Most people don't have this documentation. And you want to have control over what happens to you if you're not well and it needs to be enacted.
Now, what's one of the conversations that families almost never have, but absolutely should?
Most people don't discuss their medical decisions or what they want happening to them at end of life. So it can be quite difficult if you're confronted with someone who has to have potentially CPR. If you don't know if they do not have a do not resuscitate or an acute resuscitation plan, and if you make the decision, or do you turn the life support off, or do you donate any of their organs?
Yes.
You know, for other people, did they want that? Did they not? I know when my dad passed away, my brother and mother had to make the decision, and they still doubted themselves at times about some of the decisions they'd made, because it wasn't – during power attorney, but it wasn't documented detailly so that they knew what he exactly wanted. Wow. They had to make that decision. He left that guidance to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, Kerry, about legacy and the meaning, you talk about preserving your life journey. What did legacy mean and to you, to bring it all back to this funeral planning?
Yeah, so legacy is about your story and about who you are, where you've been, what you've done, and basically where you're going.
Okay.
It's also it's a valuable lesson that we've shared, you know, our memories, what we've created, as I said, and the impact you have on people. Quite often it's amazing at a funeral ceremony when you see how much of an impact someone's had on someone's life and the stories that people tell. It's just, I've got goosies just thinking about it. It's just amazing to hear what people have done, and people will go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did that, or when did they do that, and I didn't know. So, and it's the treasured memories that you want to leave for your family going forward as well. So, and how you want to be remembered, how you want people to realize what you did and what you have done in your life and where you're going forward.
Now, Kerry, if a listener could do just one thing this week to start getting their end of life wishes in order, what would they do? What would they be?
Just have one conversation. It might be with your mum, your partner, your kids. Let them know. Sit down and talk to them and tell them what matters, whether it's over a beer or a wine or a barbecue. You know, have a cup of tea or go out for a coffee. Just sit down and have a little conversation so you don't leave your loved ones in the dark, and it'll open the door and make you feel a bit more comfortable that you either know what your loved one wants or you've told your loved one what you would like.
Kerry, nobody should have to navigate this conversation alone, should they?
Definitely not.
No.
It's too important to leave it to chance and not to have that conversation. And it doesn't hurt just to ask the small little questions, and that could roll on to everything that you need to know.
Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you so much.
Death, of course, is inevitable. But as Kerry has shown us today, it doesn't have to be something we face unprepared or alone. And she has reminded us today that planning ahead isn't morbid. It's one of the most loving things that we can do for the people that we care about. And if today's conversation has stirred something in you, that quiet nudge to finally get things sorted, then Kerry Tully has her job done. As an end-of-life doula, funeral celebrant and author, Kerry is helping Queensland families face the inevitable with calm, clarity and confidence. Kerry Tully, thank you very much for bringing such warmth, wisdom and openness to a topic that so many of us find very hard to face. We're so very grateful to have had you on the show. And for people that might be interested in contacting Kerry, you can contact her on VITALIFEANDLegacy.com. The best first step is simply reaching out for a conversation, whether you're planning ahead, supporting a loved one, navigating grief, or looking for guidance. She will start where you are right now and take you through one step at a time.